Someone Else's Baby, written by Ruby Speechley and read by Katrin Walker Booth.
Prologue. She's running as hard as she can on this cold, blustery night, gasping and coughing, straining to breathe. No coat or jumper, only a torn summer dress and canvas shoes with not enough grip, so she slips and stumbles towards the edge of the cliff. The black water shimmers hungrily, thundering over the pebbles as the sea comes in, rattling them like a thousand bones as it draws out again. You call to her over and over, but she doesn't stop. She doesn't look back because she knows you're catching her up. And when you do, you thrust your fist into her back. She falls into the night, her screams echoing around you. The thud of her landing on cold, solid rocks makes you shut your eyes for a second. A light illuminates the tiny sunroom of a cottage down on the beach. Someone is standing at the window, watching you run away. Chapter 1. I'd made up my mind. This was the last time. It was 10 to 3 on a dreary Saturday. I'd normally be pushing Alice on a swing at the park by now. But I wanted this. I really did. You ready, hun? Steve rubbed his hands down his faded black jeans, then opened his laptop and signed into Skype. I paced up and down our studio flat, barely 12 strides in either direction. He switched on the TV in the corner and sat Alice in front of it. The rusk in her hand had gone soft from gnawing with her new tooth, poor mite. She'd smeared it all over her face and in her angel hair, which was beginning to smell. I opened the kitchenette window and breathed in fresh January rain. It's time, Steve called, adjusting the webcam. A jolt shot through me. I smoothed down my hair for the millionth time and plunked myself next to him in the old wicker chair, the one we sneaked out of a skip after the pub one night. That was before Alice came along and made us all sensible. It creaked its complaint as I sat down. Hey, how are you guys? Brenda tickled the air with her finger wave. You look well, honey. Her lips matched her poppy print dress. I smiled back, wishing I could reach through the screen and hug her. She slid the beads of her crimson necklace up and down. So much about her reminded me of Mum when she was at her most fragile. Good Christmas. Malcolm cleared his throat and said it again. He was a spindly man who wore smart V-neck jumpers. His black hair fascinated me. I tried to spot evidence of dye because his beard was mostly white. Both Brenda and Malcolm were in their late 40s, twice my 24 years. Alice isn't that aware of Christmas or Santa yet. Mum's old fibre optic tree balanced on the windowsill did the trick, but Alice had cried when the musical snowman couldn't dance anymore. No Santa here, Brenda exaggerated a sad face. They were cuddled up together on a cream leather sofa in the glass-roofed extension of their kitchen. As though she understood every word, Alice gave a gurgling laugh. Her chubby little fingers jangled a plastic tambourine. Oh, did you hear that, Malcolm? Brenda tipped her head so a blonde fringe fell across her eye. Thank you so much for the Christmas food hamper and the gorgeous pack of toiletries. It's really kind of you and was such a lovely surprise. I thought the delivery guy got the wrong house. And Alice is besotted with her new teddy, aren't you, sweetheart? I held it up to the screen before passing it to her outstretched hands. It's our pleasure, Brenda said, turning her face up to Malcolm's. He smiled warmly. Yeah, thanks, guys. Really good of you. Right, we all ready? Steve patted my leg. We all exchanged a glance. Everyone nodded in silence. I reached down for my handbag and took out a long box. Brenda began half crying, half laughing. Malcolm brushed the tears from her cheeks with his thumb. I'll be back in a minute. I waved the slim box at the screen and slunk away to the bathroom. My fingers trembled as I ripped open the packet. I took a deep breath and sat on the toilet, pointing the stick downwards into the bowl. What if it was negative a third time? How would I tell Brenda this was the last time? The thought of failure dragged my whole body down. I hadn't realised this would be so hard. Each disappointment was like living through Mum's losses all over again. I shut my eyes, but my mind opened the image of Mum crying, curled up on the bathroom floor, her flowery dress pulled up, blood between her legs, on her fingers. She hadn't noticed 10-year-old me standing at the door, not knowing what to do, whether to tell her the chips were burning. I pressed my knuckles against my forehead. My face was as pale as my hair in the shower door reflection.